This is Racelet's IndyCar Podcast. Here are your hosts, Fred and Sydney.
Thank you for tuning in to Racelet's IndyCar Podcast. I'm Fred.
I'm Sydney.
And we have got a jam-packed show for you guys this time around. This is episode 6 for us. This is the month of May in Indy. This is the busiest time of the year. We've got so much to go over, so much to talk about. We wanted to go over and talk about and review the Indy GP, Indy 500 qualifying, getting into tomorrow's Indy 500 race. But there is so much shit that had just unfolded this week. I don't even know where to begin.
Yeah, Dad, there's so much to talk about in this episode, so much action that has happened on track. But before we can even go into all of that, I think we need to discuss the biggest issue that has happened this weekend.
And what issue is that?
The whole drama fiasco with Team Penske.
So, I don't even know where to begin. Usually, we start our podcast shows recapping the previous races and then previewing what's to come. And there's so much good stuff that we want to talk about the Indy GP, Indy 500 practice for the week, and qualifying. But we're going to start right at the Fast 12 of qualifying last Sunday, Sydney, and what transpired.
Yeah, so going back to qualifying in the Fast 12, as cars are starting to lay down their times, we noticed that Newgarden and his crew started to work on his car while being in line to qualify.
Yeah, so on pit road, Fox cut away and shows the two crews members working diligently on that shell number 2 car of Joseph Newgarden, something you're not allowed to do, first of all, while you're on pit and qualifying, is to make any modifications to the car other than maybe a tweak of a wing or something like that. And then moments after, we see them working on Newgarden's car. They're pulling him off to take him to the garage to work on something. And they show them on pit lane, actually, with the, the shaver or whatever you want to call that, trying to shave down, which we find out was the attenuator on Joseph Newgarden's car. They had the blowtorch out there. They had the saw. They're trying to remove this piece, shave it down, and then they take him back to the garage. Moments later, another car that qualified in the top 12, the other Penske car of Will Power, was pulled and taken off back to the garage, off of pit road. Now we're thinking, are they going to be able to lay down their qualifying laps, or what's going on right now? Are these guys going to finish, you know, and start in P4 in 11th and 12th place? Mm-hmm. Earlier in the morning, another car of Penske, the Pennzoil Yellow Submarine of Scott McLaughlin, had a serious crash, a very scary crash too. And so Scotty's car wasn't even raceable for qualifying. So he was already sitting P12. He didn't even have a chance to go out there. So as we find out, Sid, what happened?
Yeah, so then we go to find out that Newgarden's car had actually failed pre-qualifying inspection. Mm-hmm. And so they took it back to the garage to try and work on it, but that they weren't able to and didn't have the time, and so therefore he...
It's not that they didn't have the time. That's something that you're not allowed to do.
Yeah.
So basically they had to give up their qualifying attempt at pole. Yeah. I was thinking going into the Fast 12 that Penske was going to be maybe locking it out like they did the year before. But now Scotty crashes in the morning. He's starting P12. Joseph's car is pulled. He's not able to qualify, so he's 11th. And then Will Power was also pulled. So they were all not even given an opportunity to qualify for the top 6 and possible pole.
Yeah, so from potential second front row lockout, they go to fourth row lockout, which is still pretty good.
Yeah, so you had 3 cars of Penske in the top 4 rows of to start the race for the 500. Later in the day, just I don't even know if it was within hours. I think it was within the same day. Maybe the next morning. I don't quite remember. We get word from Doug Bowles that the 2 and the 12 card of Newgarden and Will Power have now been placed to row 11 in the back of the field. They'd be starting next to Rinus VK, sitting in the 33rd and 32nd position to start the Indy 500. So you just had two cars that were two of the fastest
all weekend.
Joseph going for a three-peat for the Indy 500. Now we find out, holy shit, Penske is up to their cheating ways again. Come to find out, Chip Ganassi
was the one
who had pointed it out that they had violated and had this infraction. So much drama is unfolding. There's a great picture out there that showed Alex Palou laughing with a smiley smirk on his face and Joseph Newgarden sitting right behind him with an evil look of just like, oh my God, what the F just happened, right? So much going on. That was something I hadn't seen before. So let's continue this story real quick before we get into everything else. Come to find out, a few mornings later, we get word that Roger Penske had fired the chief engineers for the three Penske cars. So we're talking Tim Cindric, Ron Rozewski, and Kyle Moyer, who is Scotty McLaughlin's chief race engineer. All three Penske guys, donezo, right?
Yeah, well, let's take this a step further and go back to last year's race at St. Pete, where these same guys were involved in the push-to-pass scandal with Joseph Newgarden and Scotty McLaughlin.
Yeah, also Will Power involved with that, not just a points infraction for him. Yeah. So Penske loses their top three race engineers. Joseph Newgarden, who's going for a three-peat, is now going to be...
days before.
Oh, just days. This is incredible. And social media is blowing up. Everybody's talking about it. It's making its way onto the news. I even saw it on some news reports. ESPN, can you believe that? They're even covering IndyCar. That's something that, you know, they don't even talk about anymore, really. But, yeah, I mean, just so much going on with the whole Penske thing that it really took away a lot of how incredible Indy 500 qualifying and the practice of the week before leading up to it really was. There was so much awesome action on the track. Sydney, I mean, what did you see? What were some of your takeaways going into the practice week? You watched it basically every day. What were some key takeaways?
Yeah, well, just how awesome is it to have 40 hours of practice on and every day there's something to watch and just look forward to. It's so cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so teams are working really hard to kind of prepare for this race. And
yeah, they're getting their qualifying trims done. They're going to try to do the best simulations they can in their race trims as well, so they can really prepare for qualifying and the races. Some really gnarly crashes on track, and thank God that everybody involved in these was able to walk away injury free for the most part. Colton Herta, extremely scary crash. His onboard camera, if you haven't seen that, is
scary.
It's very scary. He's covering his visor, his shield. There's sparks flying everywhere. He was basically upside down.
Yeah, and the thing that I personally did not like after that crash was how many times they replayed it. Because if you're someone like me and gets like an upset stomach and can't watch, it just is so scary and you don't want to see it over and over again.
Yeah, it really, I mean, and when you're watching it live, you just get this pit in your stomach like, oh my God, I hope they're okay.
Yeah.
Please let them walk out of this. I don't care if they're not able to qualify, just for their health and safety. Mm-hmm. And watching it too, it took me right back to that crash that Kyle Kirkwood had.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that one? When he was airborne and then skidding down.
Upside down.
Tire flying into the crowd. Just crazy stuff. Scary. Now, practice, like you said, 40 hours of IndyCar coverage is incredible. Thank you to all the guys at Fox for the work that they put in. They got a full-time job, basically, a 40-hour work week. I listened to a lot of it on IndyCar radio as I was driving to and from work. Again, we're in Southern California, so this was my Monday through Friday morning commute entertainment, which I just simply loved. And then when I would get home in the evenings, we would watch the recaps after you would get home from school and stuff like that. Just, I love as much racing as I can get. And that leads us right into the qualifying for Indy 500. What can you say? Robert Schwartzman?
Incredible performance from him. Especially, I've never been on an oval before. Like, what?
Never raced an oval. Never been to Indy 500. Extremely fast that first day of qualifying. Gets himself into the top 12. A lot of other guys that made it into the top 12. You know, like we said, the three Penske cars. You have Scott Dixon. You had Alex Palou. Felix Rosenquist. A lot of the same guys. And Pato O'Ward. Like we said before, this is your year, Pato. We have all of the belief and faith in you that you're going to pull this out, and we will be rooting for you very hard
from home. Cardboard cutout will be in the living room.
Yes, your cutout. You will be joining us. Your cardboard cutout will be joining us in the living room as we watch the race. So you had all your regulars up there. Two other guys I'd like to mention that were up there were Takuma Sato, right? And then Robert Schwartzman. So that you know, that's your top 12 of qualifying there.
Yeah, and don't forget Christian Lundgaard and also David Malukas also making it up there.
Yes, they were also up there as well. Now, in Indy 500 qualifying, you have what is called the bump out day, right?
Worst part.
That is the worst part. So only 33 cars in a 33-4 entry field are able to make it to the race. So there's going to be one car that does not qualify. The last four cars... So the 34, 33, 32, and 31 placed cars in qualifying then have to go back on Sunday with three of them with a chance to get in to the 500 with one lone man out. Now, to my surprise, Rinus VK was one of those final four who did not qualify well at all.
Yeah, and joining him... for this bump day qualifying was his teammate, Jacob Abel, Marco Andretti.
And Marcus Armstrong. Marcus Armstrong did not have a chance.
He did, but he didn't have fast times.
Yes, again, he had a crash leading up to...
Practice in that morning.
Practice, and basically had the Frankenstein car to qualify with and to get into that position. So the final four with a chance to make it were Rinus, Jacob, Marco Andretti, and Marcus Armstrong. Now, Andretti and Armstrong threw down pretty fast times in qualifying. Rinus VK was sitting 33rd, Jacob Abel at 34. With time running out on the clock, we got surprised that Rinus VK was thrown back out there. His time scrubbed.
Yeah.
So his qualifying time is deleted. It's gone. If he crashes, he's gone. Jacob Abel gets that final spot.
Yeah.
That's the risk you take. I was shocked that he was doing it.
Again.
I didn't think Abel going out again was even going to be any faster than Rinus. It was a gamble that they took. You know, Dale Coyne, you know, they were saying they're basically playing chess with themselves.
Yeah. You
know, one of them is going to get
in. One of them, is going
to. I didn't understand it. So Rinus goes out. He lays a slower time down than his previous run. And then that gives Jacob Abel, as the clock is expiring, his final run. He lays down his four-lap average and didn't qualify. He did not make it. He is the lone man out in the field for this Indy 500. And then that brought up discussions after all the Penske stuff that happened where you had people all over social media and stuff asking, you know what, why aren't Will and Joseph DQ'd? Or why aren't they running again in a last chance qualifier? Why can't Jacob Abel get in? And Jacob Abel, you know, he was interviewed in a very humble and very bright kid. I like him a lot. Unfortunately, you know, he is on a team that is struggling. You know, Dale Coyne over the last couple of years has produced pretty shitty race cars when it comes to the Indy 500 qualifying. And basically, he was in the booth with the guys, and they asked him, you know, how he felt. And he's like, I don't want to get in on a technicality. You know, I wanted to, you know, race, and unfortunately, my car was not up to par. I think if he was in a, like, three-car shootout with Newgarden and Power, that they would have smoked him, and he still would have been the odd man out. And so, basically, that completed your field for the 33 guys that get in. So then we move on to the Fast Six. The Fast Six is who is fighting for pole. Alex Palou up there, Scott Dixon, his teammate, Pato O'Ward, Robert Schwartzman, Takuma Sato, and Felix Rosenquist. So I thought it was going to be either Pato or Alex that was going to run away with pole. But Takuma Sato, he was, the, I believe, the fifth one to go in the order, laid down an extremely fast time. He was sitting P1. Then Pato goes. He falls behind. He's then sitting in P2. The final guy to qualify. Well, he wasn't the final guy to qualify. But it was time for Robert Schwartzman to go. And he laid down the four-lap average faster than anybody else, right?
Yeah, so Robert Schwartzman wins pole.
Rookie driver.
Rookie driver for a rookie team.
Never having raced.
Yeah, never been on an oval before. And he's only one of the three rookies who've ever been on pole there.
Yeah, so your front row after qualifying was Robert Schwartzman, Takuma Sato, and Pato O'Ward. If you had that on your bingo card, congratulations. I did not.
Pato, maybe.
Pato, oh, yeah. Yes, definitely. But first, the other two, I didn't. I mean, Sato is very good. He's a two-time champion. Had a very good weekend. He crashed in the Indy testing, you know, a month ago. And an ROL car that actually produced was pretty good. Robert Schwartzman is your pole sitter for the Indy 500.
And as the whole Penske attenuator drama unfolds, Marshall Pruitt went into the new IMS Museum and did a really incredible piece on Joseph's 2024 car that he won in 500, and saw that it has the same modifications from this year.
Correct. So Marshall Pruitt goes in. I think Jenna Freyer did it as well, where they went in there, and where Joseph Newgarden's 2024 race-driven Indy 500 championship car is on display. And sure enough, that shaved-off attenuator piece was in the exact same spot as what they were just trying to pull off this time around. So, did he, in fact, cheat last year's Indy 500? You can't go back and change that now, but I think that had a huge impact on what Roger's decision was in having to dismiss those three guys, you know, Cindric, Rozewski, and Moyer from Team Penske. I can't believe, you know, what I don't understand what Roger must have been going through. I mean, that's a lot of stuff to overcome. Poor guy. I think he's a really genuine guy.
Yeah.
And for this to happen a second time on the world's biggest stage in terms of motorsports and racing.
Single day sporting event in the world. The biggest thing ever.
Yeah. I mean, that's so, it's disheartening where you're trying to build this IndyCar product back up, and then you have something like that, which just knocks it back down. But at the same time, you have everybody else, all the other team owners who are just, you know, sick and tired of all the antics that Penske's done here recently. You know, there was an awesome guy in on one of the videos that had a Team Cheaters t-shirt on in the in the font of Team Penske. Oh, I thought that was really cool. So a lot of guys had voiced their displeasure as well. You know, Pato O'Ward, you know, he voiced.
That's the thing, though, because he said that he thinks Joseph won fair and square. I don't know.
Yeah, that's the modest answer to it. Yeah, of course,
how you really feel.
I mean, he was given the St. Pete win from Joseph, handed in a trophy swap. He didn't want the same thing to happen. Hey, here's your Indy 500 after the fact.
No one wants to win like that.
No, Pato's going to go back out there, and he's going to win this thing fair and square tomorrow.
And we're ready
for it. And we are all ready for that. So, other things.
Yeah, and another pretty cool thing to note is that Scott Dixon is actually going into his 408th start, which is the all-time record in IndyCar.
Yes, he will be setting the IndyCar record for all-time career starts with 408.
Yeah. So, Dad, let's take a moment to acknowledge all the cool different colored liveries for this race. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Indy 500 is like the Super Bowl of motorsports, yeah. Right? You have a lot of sponsors want to get their names and logos on these race cars, and they're putting a lot of money at this biggest spectacle in racing. A lot of cool liveries. We've seen a lot of changes in color schemes.
Mm-hmm. Not a bunch of red, white, and black.
No. A lot of purples. I say purple was a big color this time around.
Purple or pink, yeah.
Pink, yeah. You had the Devlin DeFrancesco Doge car.
Yeah.
What was it called? Sunset? Or
no, it's Dogecoin, but it gives like sunset vibes.
Yeah, it looks like a sunset vibes or, you know, like rainbow sherbet kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Connor Daly with the awesome purple and gold AMPM. Too much good stuff with that guy right there.
Yeah.
You know, Connor's going to be starting in the top 12.
Yeah.
As he finished 13th in qualifying, but due to the technicalities,
he'll be starting P11.
He'll be starting P11 with Alexander Rossi. That's awesome. Stingray Robb, his teammate, with a really cool We the People car livery as well, with the red and the brownish color, and then the blue of the Constitution that he had printed on his car as well. And what other cool liveries did you like?
I personally really like the Felix Rosenquist car.
Can you take me higher?
The Creed car, and just how they like promoted that car was perfect.
Oh yeah. During practice, was it practice or qualifying when they put that Bluetooth speaker in there and blasting Creed songs?
Yeah.
I mean, there's only about three of them that were any good to begin with, but good for him and the Sirius XM car, Meyer Shank, very fast. I think he's going to have an excellent weekend. He might be my dark horse to win this race. We're going to go over our picks and predictions in just a little bit. Also, we're going to go over our grid rival picks. All the new drivers have been added into the entry field on your IndyCar app or Grid Rivals app on the IndyCar Fantasy rosters. We're going to go over that in just a second. Sydney, what were some of the other cool cars that you liked?
I love the aero cars. Like the white just adds like a pop to their team, I guess.
Pato's
really cool.
White,
the white and black
with
I
just
love
a
that
touch
one.
Of orange was
yeah, I love that one.
A beautiful car. What? Oh, Helio's car? The mushy peas
the mushy
green.
Peas, the split pea.
The split pea green and blue of Helio's car. A lot of really cool cars. It's like a rainbow out there on track. And when you're watching all these 33 cars come down the field when the green flag goes, it's going to be memorable. I really hope that Fox is going to show the national anthem
and
all
flyover?
The proceedings. I think they're going to. They've done a really good job, put a lot of effort into their broadcast over the last couple of weeks here at Indy. And, we'd like to see how that goes. A couple of notes that I didn't care for was Danica Patrick being on the Fox set along with Chris Myers. Chris Myers didn't know his ass from the hole in the ground, calling it, you know, the Daytona 500 when he's up there interviewing Colton Herta. You know, Colton Herta basically just wanted to walk off the stage. It was like an insult. He's like, dude, it's Indy 500. So I don't understand why Fox continues to use these retreads, but they do anyways. A lot of cool stuff. I can't wait for this weekend. Tomorrow's race is going to be awesome. So, Sid, let's go into predictions. Who are you picking? And I know who you're going to take. Yeah. Well, actually, I don't know, because there are two drivers that have just blown you away this season. But who are you picking to win the 500?
I think I have to pick Pato. Seeing how close he was, what, he started like top 10s last year, finishing almost first, and now he's starting P3. So I think he has one of the best
chances. He had never finished higher than 5th on the starting grid, so now he is on the front row. He gets that clear shot
ever
at turn 1. I think if he can get through that,
his race,
this could be his race, and I hope that it is. Alex Palou, who is yet to win an oval race as well.
Yeah. And it'd be his first ever.
To win the 500, being his first ever, will complete his immortality and put him, I think, on the Mount Rushmore of IndyCar drivers so early in his career already. Not only does he have nearly a 100-point lead in the standings, by the way, he won the Indy GP, which we might get into if we have enough time on this show, but he ran away with that race again.
He
meticulously raced a perfect race, tire strategies.
Yeah.
He was able to overcome Graham Rahal, who led a majority of that race. Congrats to Graham, his highest finish of the season, P6. But Alex with another win. If you had to pick a dark horse, Sydney, who are you choosing to win the 500?
I really want to see Helio win a 5th. That's just something I want to see, but I don't know.
There's a lot of history to be made. Takuma is a 2-time champion. He can go for his 3rd. Mm-hmm. Helio's obviously going for his record 5th. Now, what about Joseph? Joseph going for the 3-peat but having to start in the last row. You know he's going to be, like, motoring through the field.
Mm-hmm. He's definitely going to make some passes for sure.
Oh, definitely. I could see him within the top 15 cars very early in that race with a legitimate shot. Now, having to work your way up through the field, though, you're going to have to burn through a lot more fuel. So the strategy is going to come into play. They're going to go through those tires a little bit faster as well. So I think a lot of storylines are out there. Obviously, Robert Schwartzman on pole. Does he have what it takes to lead the race? Will he even lead a lap? I don't know. He may be overtaken right away.
Yeah.
Watching his pit crew during practice this week, he was trying to get his pit times down. They seemed to struggle a little bit. Those microseconds, those cost fractions everything. Of seconds could cost you everything when it comes to winning the Indy 500. So much is on the line. I am going to go with, obviously, I would love to see Pato win. If he does not win, and Alex, I would love to see Scotty Mack with a chance to win this race. He's going to be starting, in the 4th row. And I think him in that Pennzoil yellow submarine is going to fly right through the field. But then you also have, like, Scott Dixon up there. Felix Rosenquist very fast. So those guys can keep the same cars that they had in qualifying and, what we saw, during their practices. This is could be up for grabs. We may see history being made one way or another. I think we're entitled for an awesome race. My dark horse, I don't know if it's really a dark horse, but I might go with Marcus Ericsson to win again. I think he had a bad go at it last year, starting with qualifying, getting in, and then getting hit early in the race, knocked his whole day out. Everything he had put forward to it was over right away. I think Marcus can have a really, really solid race, and I would not be surprised if he would win again.
No, yeah.
Okay. Grid rival time. So they've put all the drivers into the field, like we mentioned. One thing I would like to note is originally on my team, I had Joseph Newgarden. I had excuse me, willpower. And I'm like, oh, awesome. They're going to be starting so far down in the field, they're going to get all these overtake points. They're going to pass 20 cars each, you know, right? Well, comes to find out, they're actually going to be starting on the app in fantasy scoring as if they were starting 11th and 12th. So you're not going to get all those points from passing anybody unless they pass anybody that was ahead of their original starting position. So that kind of threw a curveball to me. I had to retweak my lineup a little bit, but I think I have a pretty solid lineup. One thing I wanted to focus on was trying to pick the driver who I thought was going to finish highest per their team, because you do get bonus points if your driver finishes highest among their teammates. So I'm going to pick my first driver, and I'm going to go with Scott Dixon. Who are you going with, Sid?
I'm going to go with Pato.
Okay. You got Pato on your team?
Yeah.
My second driver that I have is Scott McLaughlin.
Okay, me too, me too.
Okay. I also have Pato Award.
I have Newgarden from a previous race.
Okay.
So we'll see if I keep him or not.
Well, you have a little bit of time to make that choice. If you do choose to sell him, you will have to pay a little penalty, but you might be able to pick somebody else with that money. I also have Felix Rosenquist on my team. He is my star on my roster this week, so he will be getting those double points for me. Hopefully, a solid weekend for him coming up. Who do you have for?
Marcus Erickson.
Marcus Erickson, my dark horse.
Yep.
Awesome. I love that choice. I didn't have enough funds for him. I was thinking about going with that direction, but I'm actually going with David Malukas.
Oh, I was, yeah.
He's starting P7. I'm sorry. I forgot. So I think that he will finish higher than Santino Ferrucci.
Which I really
will
hope he does.
Those bonus points.
I have Rinus VK again from a previous race.
Okay. Well, the thing for Rike is he is starting on the last row. I'm sorry, Rike. VK is he is starting on the last row.
Yeah.
So he will get credit for all those.
He will get the point.
Overtake points. And I do think that he will. He's always been very good at Indy. He had never finished lower than seventh as far as qualifying, and then he barely made it in. But I'm glad he is in there. Very good driver. The last guy on my team, I'm going to go with Connor Daly. I think he's going to be the head of the Juncos Hollinger team. And I can't wait to see that purple car, that 76, going right through the field.
Yeah, and the last guy I'm going to go with is David Malukas as well.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So we have a lot of the same drivers on our teams. There were some guys, you know, I thought about maybe putting Sato in there. Do I take a shot at Schwartzman? He is cheap. But
starting pole, so you get that
I mean,
point.
I don't know if his inexperience is going to be a detriment to him or not. We'll just have to wait and see. I can't wait. This is going to be an awesome race, Sydney. We have a little tradition here at home where I make a big breakfast for everybody, and we're just going to sit and watch the spectacle that is the Indy 500. What should I make for breakfast tomorrow?
I don't know.
What do you
French toast.
French toast? That's always
French
a good
toast,
one. I always do French
eggs,
toast,
bacon.
Eggs, bacon, sausage, hash browns, juice, fruit, you name it. We're going to be eating good and watching an exciting Indy 500.
Or not eating at all because the nerves.
Excuse me?
I said, or not eating at all because my stomach will be hurting and I'll
Your
be very nervous.
Your stomach will be in knots? Yeah.
I'm very, very nervous. But
more nervous this year than any of your other years watching the race?
Yeah, definitely.
Is that because, you know, you have so much invested in your love and passion for this?
And I just want all these people to do good, you know?
Yeah, I want a nice race,
a lot
of action. Not clean
not
as far
clean,
as...
Not clean, but not, like, upside down...
Everybody
Major
to
ginormous.
Come away from this injury-free.
Yeah.
There's always big crashes that happen. You just want everybody to be safe, but you do want to see some drama on the track, some track positioning, some strategies, some sleepers, some surprises. I can't wait, like I was saying. We'll see what happens in the morning.
So, Dad, what is your thoughts and opinions on the first episode of 100 Days to Indy that has just aired?
Well, I thought the show was good. I love the 100 Days to India show. You girls, I've watched it with all of my girls over the last 2 years. They come home from school. They would turn it on the TV.
Know it word for word.
They would know, you know, each driver and the lives behind them, the stories. It really made it awesome to get to know these
guys.
And
it also helps you, like, remember and think back to previous races and kind of, like, it clicks for you.
Yeah. So, first and foremost, I was not happy that it's on Fox Nation and that I have to pay an annual subscription fee or monthly, but of $60 to watch this.
No, you know,
you could watch replays on your local Fox channels after they have aired, or you might be able to find them on some other streaming networks. That was the one downside to me, is that I'm going to have to pay for this in order to watch the show.
Yeah.
Cool. Another thing that I didn't care for right away was about the first 30 minutes of the 45-minute show was basically
review
of last year. It was almost like last year's, you know, Indy.
Last episode.
last year's Road to the Indy 500.
Yeah. Like, it's from nice to have to the recap for the new season, but not 30 minutes.
They did at the very end, you know, they touched on the first race of the season, St. Pete. I would really hope that in the future they can make a show that focuses more on maybe the teams.
Yeah.
One episode
per team
that focuses on the team and everything that goes along with it. That way, for the casual fan out there, they get a full, broad spectrum
and they make
of
it like a whole
IndyCar racing, and really get those that fans that might be curious to really reel them in and take a liking and maybe find a driver or a team that they can support.
And make it like a whole season thing, not just to the 500.
Well, one episode of 100 Days to Indy before the Indy 500. Episode 2 will happen next week after. Which is kind of cool, because I think
it is nice, because then you still have, you have it going through the rest of the season, but
yeah, and episode 2, I believe, is going to be covering Thermal and Long Beach, which you and I were both there, and I think there might be
some clips
that we may be present in, so
look out for that.
Look out for us. We'll be having some Racelets podcast gear on, most likely some Pato stuff from you, Sissy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm looking forward to the show. I think it's great. I love that Fox is doing this.
I'm glad it's back.
And, I can't wait. Anything else, Sid, that you wanted to add to today's show?
No, I think we kind of covered everything.
We did. We really didn't cover the Indy GP too much. And for the most part, it was not a very exciting race.
Yeah, it was a pretty clean race, except for...
We did have our first caution late in the race.
400-ish laps.
Yeah, over 400 laps of green consecutive racing.
Yeah.
And then when that caution did come out, everybody, all the fans,
like, everyone was
cheering.
So excited.
Yeah, like,
it was crazy.
We get a restart, and then Pat, you know, Alex was in the lead at that time, and then the restart comes out, and he just went ahead and did his thing and just pulled away from the race. But Pato O'Ward back up there at P2, so a very good race for him.
Mm-hmm.
And Scotty McLaughlin finished. Yeah, Scotty finished third.
No, that was Will Power. Well, Power finished third.
You're right. Power finished third. I don't even remember. That was an exciting race. I predicted Scotty was going to win and go for the three-peat. That's what it was. I'm sorry. I didn't have to go back and check my notes, but yeah. Will did finish third.
Yeah.
Right. You know. You know all that stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I love you. Well, basically, that's going to wrap up our show this time around. Thank you so much for listening to Racelets IndyCar Podcast. Again, like and subscribe. Listen to us, follow us on YouTube, follow us on our Spotify channels. Also, on our social medias, Racelets Podcast is our
Instagram
account. Also, Racelets Podcast on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it. And then if you search our Etsy store, we do have an Etsy store in which our bracelets are displayed and we can sell them. Whatever you want. If you want custom bracelets made, give us a DM, shoot us an email. We'd love to help you out. And that's it. Sid, thank you so much.
Yeah,
good luck tomorrow. Everybody enjoy the Indy 500. We'll see you next time.